It is another edition of the Shoot for Ball podcast. We're a little short-handed today. Carrington Harrison here. Today, I mean, we got a LeBron D. Wade power team right now. You know what I mean? We ain't got the full complement of weapons today. We ain't got our Chris Bosh.
Just two we ain't of us, so we going with the top guys, huh?
I mean, we ain't got our Mario Chalmers to yell at today.
No
we
Shane Battier.
Nah, we ain't got no Udonis Haslam. We ain't got no Shane Battier today. Just me and you today.
We got to hold it down.
What
gotta crazy do what we got to do.
AB is, AB was, I would have came yesterday. You never said that in the text message at any point.
No, he did. He said last week that he'd be there this week.
But then he wasn't here this week. What is he talking about? I mean,
no, he said as in yesterday, if we recorded yesterday.
Okay, well, yeah. In the text when we were setting it up, wasn't nobody going to be here but me and you. So today it was more beneficial to my schedule. Yeah, we got to start things off today.
Yeah, for sure.
Aaron is not here. His mother passed away.
Yeah.
So Bond is not here this week. I don't know if he's going to be here or not next week. Take as much time as you need.
Take as much time. We need
our big guy for the playoff run. You got a couple of weeks.
Got to
have
him.
You can be off in these couple of weeks.
Rest up. Get your rehab in. Send our condolences to him. He lost his mom. So if you do the praying thing, send your prayers up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We'll be back to full strength soon enough.
Yeah, no, everybody's going to be back here soon enough. So let's start with this. When it comes to the Boston Celtics, Kyrie Irving.
Turmoil.
You know how when we were kids and, like, your mom would say something and it didn't, like, really register. And then you got old enough, you was like, damn, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
All the stuff LeBron was trying to tell you, Kyrie, you finally see what LeBron was talking about. Quote, these young guys don't know what it takes to win at a championship level. What it takes every day. And if they think it is hard now, what do they think it will be like when we're trying to get to the finals? I mean, we had nothing to lose last year. We had nothing to lose, and everybody could play free and do whatever they wanted, and nobody had any expectations. Well, Kyrie, you weren't playing last year in the playoffs, so you had absolutely no expectations.
You had none.
We were supposed to be at a certain point. We surpassed that. Young guys were supposed to be at a certain point, and they surpassed it. Coming into the season, expectations, and it's real. Everyone from the coaching staff to the players, it's very much real every day. So that's new. It's tough. It's hard. You know, so I think that what we're facing now is nothing compared to being on that stage trying to get a gold trophy. I'm telling you, Kyrie, you wanted your own team.
First of all, let me just start by saying that was the longest quote
yeah.
in the history of quotes out here
on the podcast. No, it absolutely was. I'm just saying it is, Kyrie. You wanted this.
This is exactly what he asked for. This is why he left LeBron, was to go and have to deal with this. If you're going to be a leader, be a leader. You can't chastise and do what he's doing. You got to lead by example and also teach people. That's what LeBron was trying to do. Or maybe this is how LeBron taught him. I don't know. But I feel like it's more of the first than the latter.
I remember you brought this up a lot early in the season about it being too many cooks in the kitchen. Is that as odd as it sounds, and maybe it's like weird, somebody would correct me here, is there too much talent in Boston? Like, somebody's going to be unhappy with minutes. Like, you can't have as many guys as they consistently play in their rotation. You're trying to bring Gordon Hayward back healthy. You're trying to get Kyrie back healthy. You're trying to establish Tatum as being a young leader. You're trying to get Terry Rozier. Like, you got all these dudes that feel like they could be the best player on a team. Man, we probably should have saw this problem coming from the very beginning of the season. I give you credit. You saw it.
The history of the league, probably other than the Warriors, really, I'm trying to think back. Maybe the Pistons, I guess. They were another championship team. But history has told us that you got to have a pecking order. When LeBron joined D-Wade, D-Wade realized it and said, LeBron, you got to be the guy. LeBron's always been the guy. Jordan's Bulls, Shaq and Kobe. When Kobe wanted to be the guy, he got Shaq up out of there. History has told us that you got to have a pecking order when it comes to basketball. Otherwise, you can have like three just maybe main stars. Like I said, it's very rare. Like the Pistons, they always unselfish, and the Warriors clearly are that same type of crew. But for the Celtics, I feel like they got to figure something out between Kyrie, Tatum. Hayward is still trying to figure out what he's doing in their offense, I think. But one of them three definitely needs to be the Robin, and I don't know who's going to be Batman.
Yeah, and that's why I mean, we joke a lot about Golden State, but I give Golden State a lot of credit of everybody in Golden State appears to be willing to sacrifice 10% of themselves, 15% of themselves for the greater good. Like, Kevin Durant, you don't sign up for that scenario if you're not willing to kind of fall in line with everybody else. Yep. It kind of seems like right now in Boston – nobody seems really comfortable to what their role was. Where last year,
everybody looked good.
Everybody was kind of accustomed to their role and what they needed to do. But you didn't have Kyrie. You didn't have Gordon Hayward either. That you try to get in a guy in Kyrie that's won a championship, a guy like Gordon Hayward, who's been the best player on a team, veteran guys that I understand why they kind of want to be top dog in this scenario. Man, it's just a completely different dynamic. I'm a little surprised it's taken them this long, but as I said, it makes sense why it's maybe taken them this much to try to figure out how to kind of get all those personalities into one mix.
Yeah, the biggest thing I think for the Celtics is they have a lot of top talent, and then they also have a lot of good second-tier talent. Like, usually it's a drop-off. But Terry Rozier thinks he probably should be starting after the run that they had last year in the playoffs. If not, at least getting a whole bunch of backup minutes. Jaylen Brown definitely thinks he should be more of a two guy than probably where he is in the pecking order. After that, it probably drops off quite a bit. But I feel like that's their biggest problem is like, yeah, they got three good guys in Tatum, Kyrie, and Hayward. But the problem with that is Tatum and Hayward both play the same position, but basically, and they're out on the floor all the time. And then their second group of guys feel like they should be on somebody's team starting, which they probably could. Terry Rozier probably could be playing.
Yeah, I mean, Rozier could certainly start for a lot of teams.
Exactly. And same with Jaylen Brown. He probably could be a good two guard if given the opportunity playing somewhere. So they just got to figure it out, and that's something Brad Stevens got to figure out. If we've been saying he's probably been the best coach in the NBA for so long, maybe after like Pop and maybe Doc Rivers or whatever, he's got to figure this out amongst that team and what they're going to be doing.
And kind of, I mean, now looking back, I know the team dynamic is, it makes Phil Jackson and what he accomplished like a little bit more impressive. Like,
that's why he's the Zen master.
Jordan, I'm not saying nobody's like Kobe and Shaq.
Managing those egos is a real thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's not just like rolling the ball out here. Like, it can't be that easy. Like, Brad Stevens, I think from an X's and O's standpoint,
he's certainly a great up coach. There.
Like,
yeah.
Managing personalities, and when you got seven dudes that feel like they can be the best player on the team, you got to be able to deal with that. Then you got Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris, we ain't got to get into his personality. They ain't here pushing each other and fighting and scrapping.
Where
like,
your boy Greg at? Where Greg at so he can rep for Marcus Morris being the greatest KU
like,
player?
I don't know what y'all doing right now. How you fighting the dudes on your own team? Like, goodness gracious, like. At least with Golden State, when they do that, it's like, oh, they're going to be all right. I don't know if you're doing this. And when the dude's doing it, it's Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, not Jaylen Brown and Marcus Moore.
Hey, and they're getting broke up by Marcus Smart, of all people. Sir Flop-A-Lot is out here breaking up the fight.
Tell me how Marcus Smart is the peacemaker in all of this. Like, how we gotten to the point where Marcus Smart, he's the keep the peace guy in that Celtic. I mean, the same thing happened with your Warriors with DeMarcus Cousins. He was the peacemaker. Relax, guys. We're on the same team here. You just got here.
Yeah, I don't know what was going from that altercation. Clearly, they both said after the game they both just want to win. But Boston, I'm looking right now, they're 25-18. They're behind Philadelphia, slightly above Miami, who's 500. Boston needs to get it together. It's coming up on All-Star break. The second half of the season is definitely already here. They got to figure something out with this team, or they might mess around and lose in the first round because they got some inner workings that they need to get together.
So, moving on from the Boston Celtics, man, I feel like we haven't had one positive conversation about the Boston Celtics all year. Like, it ain't really been a whole lot cracking with the Boston Celtics.
It really ain't.
This year. Like, it really ain't been a whole lot cracking. So Blake Griffin, if you guys missed the story or not, Blake Griffin was warming up. He was getting ready to play his old team, the Los Angeles Clippers. Certainly no love lost there. If I'm Blake Griffin, I was just a free agent. If I wasn't in your long-term plans, you should have told me. I would have signed somewhere else.
Wherever he wanted to go.
I resigned with you thinking I'm going to be here long-term. You're going to build around me. You couldn't even wait to the trade deadline. You moved me to the Detroit Pistons. Can you imagine signing up for the next 5 years to live in Los Angeles? And they send you in the middle of February to Detroit.
Oh, bro.
I wouldn't want to shake that man's hand either. Bro, you lied to me, you're a snake.
They swindled Dwayne Blake out here. They just swindled that guy.
Absolutely swindled my dog, Blake. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be laughing and shaking your hand either if you told me. Because you know they told him, hey, Blake.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I know Chris Paul's gone. Like, you know, hey, we're going to have you. We're going to have DeAndre Jordan. We still want to be competitive. It's Los Angeles. We're going to bring another star. They do all this stuff to get you to sign. And in the moment you sign, they trade you to the Pistons.
That's the whole thing really don't even make sense just from the Clippers standpoint in general. You let Chris Paul go. Then you let DeAndre go, or either they traded for DeAndre, one of the two. And then you trade away Blake. Like, how you get rid of all your stars? Like, if anything, you resign Blake for the 5 years. I would see him staying amongst any of the three. But then you get rid of all three. I ain't got no love for Steve Ballmer either if I'm Blake. And then, you, like I said, you send me to Detroit. Cold-ass Detroit out here. How many miles is Detroit from Flint right now? Flint still don't got running water out here.
I ain't about to be out here getting them Flint jokes about the water.
I'm just
you got to free my people.
You got to do something better up there. Shout out to Kuzma. He trying to help the folks in Flint out there. But, I mean, you going to send me to Detroit out here to struggle? Oh, no. Nah. I ain't got no love for Steve Ballmer either.
Then Blake Griffin says that he didn't mean to not shake his hand. So it says this: for nine years.
Yeah, he always runs off.
I'm done doing my pregame shooting. I make sure there's a path, and I take off running to the locker room. I don't stop running. A lot of you know that. A lot of you have been here for a long time and seen me do that. I don't change for anybody. Once you start saying that kind of stuff, bro, all right, bro. To tweet something like that, like what you did, was kind of bullshit. You know that, but that's what it is. Anytime somebody says that's what it is, they mad. Ain't nobody ever said that's what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, he said, plain or simple. It wasn't anything planned. Every game I've done this for I don't know how long, bro. You saw the owner of your team.
He had his hand out. They're like, you saw it, you took off.
The owner of the team. And then in this, his full response, it's not like he apologized, like, yo, my bad, I didn't see him coming over there. Like, bro, you start saying it is what it is, plain and
next
simple.
Next question.
I don't change for anybody. Bro, you're mad. Like, stop it. Come on now. You know
just
that.
Keep
you
it
know
real.
You mad in that scenario.
He big mad. He's big mad. I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but he's big mad at Ballmer for whatever reason. He need to be mad at Doc Rivers. That's what he need to be mad at.
He need to be mad at all. He's mad at our dude, Austin Rivers. That's what you need to be mad at. Keeping things moving here.
Hold on. Did Blake get a tribute video? Was this his first return?
I don't know.
If Blake didn't get a tribute video, oh.
I mean, Blake at some point is going to have his Clippers jersey retired.
He
at
definitely
some
should.
He is. At some point.
He should.
Blake signed that 5-year, $171 million deal, bro, and then they traded you to the—
Then they sent him to Stan Van Gundy, and then Stan Van Gundy got fired.
He got fired. Now he out doing podcasts on ESPN. So looking at it right now, I mean, the biggest story in the NBA has been James Harden. Like, I don't know what happened to James Harden. I think it's kind of simple of Chris Paul ain't there monopolizing the ball, and it's just like, yo, go score
go
in
this score.
Scenario. Like, Harden is doing some
Do what
stuff.
You was doing 2 years before Chris Paul got there, basically.
I would say this is like a— This is like a Dragon Ball Z. I don't know. It's better than what it was a couple years ago. Like, man, the stuff Harden is doing right now, I think it was a couple days ago, I saw 17 straight games in which he scored at least 30 or more points. I remember saying this last time, you was kind of laughing at me, like, this is the best we've seen an NBA player play since Kobe. This might be better than Kobe's run.
That's what I just seen the tweet, that because Kobe did have a run of 16 games, and he just passed it with the 17. I was just kind of low-key BS and just trying to hype my guy Steph up, of course. But this is definitely the greatest run that any basketball player probably has been on. Shoot, probably since like some 80s or something like that, that anybody of our generation can definitely remember.
I mean, and right now, man, he's just doing a little bit of everything. I mean, he's averaging 34.8.
He had 57 the other night, and 39, I think, was in the first half, or 36.
An easy one, too. Like, the thing about James is, like, in that game you're talking about, like, it was efficient. Like, 17 for 33, 6 for 15.
I mean, he did go 1 for 17 the game before that. So.
Yeah, no, you're lying that. I mean, he was out there keeping the
he
gun
got the gun
loaded.
Fully loaded. He was on Westbrook loaded.
I mean, he got you 57 and 9 rebounds. I mean,
he's doing his thing. And he's completely turned around the Rockets season, because the Rockets was not looking good at first. So.
No, they wasn't. I mean, he single-handedly got them back in the conversation right now. I mean, they was playing kind of poor. They've kind of turned things around. They playing better basketball right now. I mean, I kind of thought that they wouldn't want to give the MVP to Harden, kind of based on how things are going. But the way he's hooping right now, I mean, he has to be the favorite for MVP. I mean, he's playing as great of offensive basketball as you can humanly play.
He's second right now behind Greek Freak in my standings of what would be the MVP race. As long as Greek Freak keeps, Milwaukee in second or first in the East, and they're probably— they're second and first in the whole league, actually. He's probably still going to end up getting it no matter what Terry Harden goes on. It's going to be kind of like Russ when Russ had already run it after the triple-double. Then he got another triple-double, and it was like nobody cared about what Russ was doing. So that's kind of how I feel it's going to be like for Harden. But, I mean, if he keeps this up and then they mess around, because Houston's the fourth seed right now in the West. If they mess around and get to, like, the third, because I don't see him catching Golden State, and unless Denver falls off, they can maybe reach the two again. If he does that, then, yeah, he might get back-to-back again.
Yeah, I mean, the way he's hooping right now, I mean, anything has to be possible, especially with LeBron being out, and we don't know how long LeBron's going to be out.
Yeah.
I mean, he certainly has the conversation. With LeBron, I mean, it seems kind of obvious to me what's happening with LeBron. If this was serious, LeBron would probably try to give it a go. It's not serious. I think it's kind of obvious that the Lakers as an organization aren't really taking 2019 with just urgency, like, hey, we got to do something this year. Like, I think LeBron wants to make the playoffs, but if they miss the playoffs because he misses 30 games, knowing he probably could have missed 11 games, but they just like, hey, take as much time as you need to get back. Like, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Maybe I'm kind of caping for LeBron here because he's never had that kind of major injury.
Right.
But I'm just kind of looking at it like, it took Steph 11 games. It's maybe taking you a little bit longer. I fully believe that LeBron wants to play in the All-Star game. Like, LeBron seems to appreciate the All-Star game, likes to be there. So I think he'll be back by then. I just don't think LeBron's hurrying to get back.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. He's definitely not going to rush himself. He won't be back until he's ready to be back. He's not young like he used to be when he could roll his ankle and be back the next game and the same game. So right now, the biggest thing, like you said, it seems like the Lakers kind of have went back on what they originally like. Originally, at beginning of free agency, when they first got LeBron, they was like, 2019, we hands off, you know what I'm saying? Whatever happens, happens. Then once they got rolling after kind of their initial struggles, they hurry up and grab Tyson Chandler and was like, all right, we might be all in on 2019. Yeah. LeBron was really still that guy. Then LeBron gets hurt and they falling back again and thinking like, well, let's just wait till next year. We know we're going to get a free agent. We're not really caring about this. So that's what I agree. It seems like they are back on just the whatever happens this year. And that's why LeBron isn't rushing back, because right now they're outside the playoff race right now. And I just wonder how much does these 10 or 11 games hurt them if they are trying to get into the playoffs? Because we know LeBron is probably trying to get into the playoffs. He's never not trying to get into the playoffs. So I just wonder how much, like, if he doesn't miss any more time, basically every game is going to be a must-win game for them because they're outside the playoffs right now.
I just kind of look at this of this could be end up being a blessing in blessing in disguise for the Los Angeles Lakers. Of you don't got LeBron in this. There's no expectations right now. They kind of jiggling with the lineup a little bit. They kind of mixing and matching pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, if you wanted a way to really evaluate where dudes are, to kind of get LeBron's input, like you saw LeBron like standing with Magic.
Yeah, he'd be standing with Magic and Rob.
He's like having them conversations. Like, I don't think necessarily this is the worst thing in the world. Like, if they get the 7th seed in the playoffs, all right, let's just go ahead and get it. You're not like this team wasn't winning a championship this year.
Yeah.
Get you out early. Don't put that extra wear and tear on LeBron. Nobody, I think, from the national perspective is going to blame LeBron for this season just based on where he is in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, I think the conversation always was, can you go get one of those big-time free agent pieces in 2019?
Yeah.
Can you go get Klay? Can you go convince Kevin Durant to team up with you? Can you do something like that? Like, that's really what this season was always about. It was about keeping LeBron healthy, which they've done a poor job of so far. And then it was about, do you develop those young pieces in it? Who emerges as somebody that can be a nice side piece to LeBron?
Yeah, I agree with you on the young pieces, because this is definitely the only way I feel like the young guys were going to get ticked was with injury. Because we've seen it in the past on any LeBron team, he doesn't like to play with young guys. He usually always brings some older veterans and they come and play and he takes them and drags them into the finals. So you got to find a way to develop young guys with LeBron being on your team, and unfortunately it has to happen with him being injured. But this is what I think is going to end up happening out the deal, is they're going to find out who is best to play with LeBron. And like we've been saying all along, we think it's going to be Kuzma and Ball, and it's going to raise the draft stock of probably Ingram. And that's what they're going to end up using, is Ingram or one of them three probably to be trade bait to basically, like everybody thinks, either entice Anthony Davis or try to get a free agent. Cause I don't know if they're going to get Kawhi or Klay, but if they would need a trade, at least they have some trade pieces, and letting these guys play, people can see that, hey, they can go out and score 20 a night or whatever the case may be. And maybe if they're the main guy, can get some potential from there.
Let me ask you this. What's more surprising today? Because I don't think you got a chance to see this yet. You're a Golden State Warriors fan. You've been a Golden State Warriors fan since 2018.
This guy here.
Longtime fan of the Golden State Warriors. Are you more surprised that they scored 51 points in the first quarter today against Denver? Or that they scored 51 points and Draymond Green did not contribute anything offensively to the game?
I would have
51 points.
I would have to
Draymond
say the latter.
Didn't get an offensive rebound.
He got at least an offensive rebound and a kickback. He got an assist. If he's got an assist, he might have got an
offensive rebound. He didn't get you nothing.
He's got an 0 in the first half. He got at least an assist.
Let me pull up the number.
He got a hockey assist or something.
I'm about to pull up the box score. All I know is That dude, Draymond Green, they scored 51 points in the first quarter. Draymond Green had 0 points. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I just know he had 0 points.
The thing
is, have 0 points if 51. You didn't get one? He played 10 minutes and had 0 points.
The thing about Draymond is, though, everybody is harping on his defense. I mean, on his offense. He's never been an offensive guy. Like, he hovers around 8 points a game.
He acts like an offensive guy, though.
That's when? He's not up here shooting it up like 12 times a game.
Hold on. So this is what happened. So Kevin Durant, he played 12 minutes. He was 7 for 7. They had 17 points. Steph, 4 for 6, 12 points. Klay Thompson, 5 for 6, 13 points. We got to talk about how Klay Thompson scored 50 points and took 2 dribbles in the game.
Hey, Klay back.
Shit made absolutely
I said a
no
few
sense.
Weeks ago Klay was struggling, but Klay back.
My dog Kevin Looney gave you 8 points. Or give me 8 minutes and 5 points.
I bet you those points was from Draymond.
Andre Iguodala gave you 5 minutes and 2 points coming off the bench, giving you some quality minutes. Draymond Green, Mr. Snapchat your penis. 10 minutes, 1 shot, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. I would hope you have some assists. Everybody on your team is scoring. 0 points. How did you not score?
He doing what we need him to do. We don't pay Draymond to score. We play him to play defense.
Are you paying Kevin Looney to score? He had 5.
No. Anything he gives us is a blessing. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Draymond Green gives you is a blessing.
Hey, them 4 assists is clutch. That's what we need from him right now.
I mean, it's pretty easy to get 4 assists when Kevin Durant didn't miss a shot. I can get 2 or 3 assists in that scenario.
Steph, KD, and Klay is over here averaging, looks like, 75 points between the three. And we don't need much from Draymond. When Boogie comes back, I hope Draymond's numbers go to 0. I don't need him shooting the ball, if I'm just being honest with you. Draymond is just out there to help facilitate, and lead the defensive charge. That's all we need Draymond for. We don't need him shooting shots. If it's not a dunk or a layup, I don't need Draymond shooting. Pass it to one of the shooters and get the hell out the way.
No, I mean, that's what he's doing in this. 10 minutes, took 1 shot. I mean, I ain't never seen Draymond afraid to shoot this one. I mean, Kevin Looney, he had the gun loaded. 1 for 2 for 5 points. He had the gun loaded. Andre Iguodala came in the 5 minutes. I'm getting shots up, bro. I'm going 1 for 2 in this scenario.
I think
Draymond just playing like Draymond.
I think the on a serious note, though, I think the Warriors went into this game looking to show Denver really was up, because that's, of course, who they're playing, and Denver is half a game ahead of them. If they win this game, they'll flip and be in the first seed. So I think that they definitely went into this game focused, or at least the three stars did. Draymond, he might be up there. I don't even want to say my Kobe joke. I'm going to hold that one back. But.
So I'm telling you, trying to get this. We only got, I mean, this is a bite-sized edition of the podcast. You about to get us fired here. Let's end with this. Let's pay our respects to a NBA legend. Nick Collison, somebody needs to do a nice 30 for 30 on how you are a role player, yet play your entire double-digit years career
the same franchise
for one organization
that turned into two franchises.
You play for two teams, two organizations, but never change teams. Nick Collison, you should be in the NBA Hall of Fame. That's I know. You should be in the NBA Hall of Fame. They're retiring Nick Collison.
He's going to get his jersey retired. He's going to get a tribute video. The real question, is there a top 10 place for Nick Collison? Tribute video, what are they going to play for Nick Collison?
All energy buckets.
It's going to be all in a superstar. How many minutes was he getting as a Thunder?
Hold on, let me pull
gonna
up
be
some
a superstar.
Hold on, you know we got to do our favorite game. How much did he make? Hold on.
Under, did he score over 5,000 points in his career?
Hold on. You're moving too fast. All right, we got to see how much money that Nick Collison made in his NBA
Nick
career.
Nick Collison, he probably is good for $50
million. $59 million.
I knew he was good for 50
million.
He had a great life.
My dog
went to KU, played all 4 years, then went and got $60 million.
One year, he made $13 million.
Oh, he stole from the Thunder.
He made $13 million. He made $6 million in salary, had a $6.5 million signing bonus.
Oh, yeah, he's a
Nick
thief.
Nick Collison, you was out here.
What's bad is that probably was a team-friendly contract, and he still was stealing.
Yeah, bro, you was out here, man. I don't know what you was doing out here. You signed a 5-year, $33 million deal and collected all of them coins, my guy. All of them coins.
He's somewhere sitting on them
my
stacks.
Dog played, Nick Collison played 15 years in the league, gave you 5.9 points, 5 rebounds. Hey, you know what? I actually appreciate that. Back when he was in his prime, he was good for 25 minutes, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, nice locker room guy.
He's definitely a good locker room guy.
Russell,
that's for
always
sure.
Says that his favorite teammate
to
play with
was Nick Collison. He definitely was a good locker room guy. What's, I don't know what's worse than
that. That's who he was. I'm going to start calling Nick Collison white Udonis Haslam. That's who he was.
Udonis got probably that bag, though. What's bad is that Eric Dampier made more money than Nick Collison did. And Eric Dampier, I think, made $100 million over his career. Nick Collison didn't even sniff close to that. He got $60
million. We
got to
pull it up. Eric Dampier. That's... I feel like Eric Dampier, whenever you was creating your own rosters, like on NBA Live 2002, Eric Dampier was like a great person to have on your roster.
You get him for cheap and you good got a minutes, solid big man.
Good minutes. I remember I used to always put Austin Crozier on my team. I don't remember which NBA Live that was. It was after that one NBA Finals. Austin Crozier, he was like a 78, but he was white, so they made him a little bit better, even though his rating wasn't high. Austin Crozier, he was hooping. Hold on, I'm trying to find career earnings for Eric Dampier. Remember Shaq used to always call him
Erica Dampier, yeah.
Bro, you're not going to be disrespecting me like that, bro. You're not going to be calling me Erica.
He helped Erica get that bag.
You know the dude called you Erica, and there's nothing you can do about
ain't
it.
Ain't nothing like, he could do about it. He Shaq, was just barbecue chicken. Barbecue chicken right, against Shaq.
How much money do you think Eric Dampier made in his NBA career?
I'm thinking like at least $105
million. $97.9 million. Eric Dampier.
Bruh.
I'm telling you, the best thing in life God can make you is tall.
I'm telling you, bro. You don't got to have talent. Just be tall and you'll be you're good for us. Don't get injured.
And mildly coordinated. If you can do that, you got a chance.
You got a career
in
the NBA for sure.
In this league.
That is for sure.
Eric Dampier made almost $100 million, averaging 7.4 points per game in his NBA career. Dog, his last year with the Atlanta Hawks, he played in 15 games. And hold on, let me get you exactly how many points. He played in 15 games, gave you 83 minutes, and he scored 2 points.
83 total minutes? Oh,
he
my
gave
God.
You 83 total minutes. At 36, my dog said, I can't do this no more.
My knees and back is killing me.
My dog was at 36 in Atlanta. He signed up for that strip club life and was like, yo, I only got 15 games of this in my life. He shot 1 for 8 his last year.
Oh, my God. 1 for 8?
1 for 8.
He shouldn't even have made it through the regular season.
Nah, 1 for 8. That's trash. 83 minutes. Shout out to my dog, Eric Dampier. Before we get you guys out of here in our bite-sized edition today of the Shoot Football Podcast, I want to tell you guys a story about Devin Booker. Have you heard this story about Devin Booker? I just be reading the headlines. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't be really reading the stories. I don't know how true
you don't
are.
Know how this is going to go.
They be on Black Sports Online, but it be funny, so I be reading it. So the headline reads, after allegedly getting an IG model and his high school sweetheart pregnant at the same time.
You and these
listen to this. While dating Kylie Jenner's BFF, a fourth woman comes forward to say she's sons Devin Booker's number one.
What?
Yo, Devin Booker is shooting on and off the court, my guy. So you got two women pregnant at the same time. You got a
you still
girlfriend,
with your girlfriend
and a wife on the side. Devin Booker got that contract and started wilding out, bro. I'm telling you.
He got that next level money out here. He just need to go get some tips from Lou Will and just dog, keep them dudes, together like Lou Will, I guess. I don't know.
These dudes get that bag. They get that bag.
Devin Booker out here wilding. What is he doing out here? Wait.
He shooting. Did. That's what he doing. Shooting on and off the court, bro.
He's shooting
wet
too much.
Wet like I'm booked.
Quit practicing.
Wet like I'm booked.
He got to do something else with it. If all this is true, he's doing too much.
I don't know if it's true or not. I saw it on the internet, so it must be true. I'm just telling you a story about what
Devin
happened.
Devin Booker need
Devin
to chill.
Booker. I'm just telling you.
I can't even say he needs to chill because he's still the most talented Suns player that they have, and he's probably a top 25 player right now.
I'm
still.
I'm just happy him taking care of business on and off the court. So this is a short version of the Shoot Football Podcast, bit different today. We only got half the people, so we're giving you half the pod today. Carrington Harrison here, my dog Brian Kennedy. Condolences to our guy Aaron Bond. He normally will be here with us today. His mom passed away. He's going to be back next week. I don't know if AB going to be back next week. Maybe we got to call Zach Noble up. You got to have that white shooter on deck, bruh.
He would have been here with all stats today.
Yeah.
He would have been here with all stats.
You got to have your Matthew Dellavedova on deck. Please give us a review. Subscribe to it. We've been doing these consistently. I'm feeling optimistic about the future of the Shoot Football Podcast.
We just got to get that one good news story to break off one time and be the first to report it to.
We was the ones doing it, but you wasn't here that week. That's what happened. All the stuff
I've
was
been
happening.
Here every week.
I don't know. Well, maybe it was me not here.
Yeah.
So for Brian, for Carrington, this is the Shoot Football Podcast. Catch you guys next
week. Peace.